The book of Leviticus, chapter 19. And you can relax a little bit because it won't hit you near home till later on in the message. I'm going to engage your brains, challenge you to think about some things that are taking place in our country, but to look at it from a biblical perspective. In the month of January, we spent Sunday mornings contemplating, looking at verses and passages that God's Word tells us about false teachers and false teachings. And the one that really sticks out in my mind is Paul's warning to the Ephesians that when he is gone, two things are going to happen. No, ma'am, not yet. Two things are going to happen. There are going to be false teachers that come from outside, but false teachers that rise up from within. And so even in the political realm, where usually religion is told to take a back seat, when you try to use a Bible verse to justify your political position, please understand I'm not willing to take a back seat. Once you've entered into the Word of God, you've done crossed over. If we're going to have realms, you've done gotten into my play box. And you better be careful with what you do in my play box. Most of you are familiar with enough. I don't have a problem looking at somebody and saying, that just ain't what the Word says. And yet we've been fed some lies, some twisted scriptures from quite some time, and the topic is immigration. And let me go ahead and be a little more inflammatory and do everything we can to get this kicked off of YouTube. Illegal immigration. If you were to bring up this topic to, and I'm going to use the old standard fallback, the liberal, not classical liberal, but the liberal, they're going to say, well, that's not what the Word of God says, that you're supposed to observe borders, you're supposed to do it according to the legal system. You're supposed to be kind to the immigrant in your midst. And they're going to quote to you from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. I'll also look at a passage in Deuteronomy here shortly. But it's going to be one of these two that you're going to hear. And so I want you to follow along with me. And see if you haven't heard this, at least in legacy media land. And if a stranger sojourn with you in your land, you shall not vex him or oppress him. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you. You shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Sounds pretty airtight, right? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, or you can follow along on screen here. But these are two that are often quoted to convince you that illegal immigration is justified by God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 19, love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. We might as well just pack our bags up, right? Politically, we've just been handed the full case. God's Word says you got to take everybody that comes across your border and let them just plant among you, and you got to treat them good. Now, the problem is there are a lot of people out there that are going to hear a Bible verse stuck to something and think that the Bible verse is correctly understood in its context. A Bible verse taken out of its context is a proof text for a pretext. In other words, they're twisting it to legitimize a belief or an opinion. And that's where we are called to be careful. And that's where I'm also called to warn you, to help you be on top of these things. Now, I'm going to be honest, ain't nobody sent me an email. Brother Luke, I'm hearing this about illegal immigration. This is what they're saying the Bible says. What's really going on here? Ain't nobody contacted me. So that tells me one of two things. Either you just dismissed it completely when you heard it, or you knew the answer and you weren't bothered by it. And I know y'all are all students of the book of Leviticus as well. Deuteronomy is right there next to it. I mean, y'all have got verses memorized from them, right? You should, at least from Deuteronomy, because I've preached to you some of my favorite ones. When you are full, then you bless the Lord. We have a tendency to pray before we eat. Why don't you pray after you eat? Well, that's just how we were taught. Pray before we eat. Deuteronomy says, pray after you eat and give God thanks, because if you've had enough to be full, you've got a reason to be thankful. I contend, typically, you should be more thankful after you've eaten and are full than you were before you ate. And nobody said amen, Lord. Well, according to Leviticus chapter 19 and according to Deuteronomy 10, we're supposed to just let anything that happens happen according to these passages. Let me remind you what Peter told us about this, not immigration, about using the Word of God. And he's talking about Paul here, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. He said, if you read Paul's letters and some of them make you scratch your head, Peter says, I'm right there with you. But he says, this is what happened. They that are unlearned and unstable, they rest, they twist, distort, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Why are you surprised people would do that? You're not supposed to be surprised. In fact, you're supposed to be on the edge of your seat when somebody throws Bible passages out there to see if they are actually what God said. This was a problem in the Old Testament. People came up, claimed to be prophets, and they were saying things in God's name, and God comes along and says, I ain't said that. You saying I said that, but those are not my words. And so you're going to hear people tell you, well, because of Leviticus, because of Deuteronomy, you must accept that immigrants are allowed to come into your country and live like they want to live. And I'm going to tell you, they have conveniently forgotten the rest of the book of Leviticus. So look in Leviticus chapter 18. You can look overhead here, but I want you to see it in your Bible. In Leviticus chapter 18, one, they conveniently forgot to tell you. And again, I like the King James, if for no other reason than the ye and the thous. Anytime you see ye, this means all of us, or it means all the people. God says to his people Israel, all of you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. You heard what he just told you? My people, when you're in the land, you avoid the abominations of the people that were here before you, who are removed, whose places you have taken. And by the way, the stranger that is in your midst, he must obey the same law too. There's not an exception carved out. And so if a person came in from another country and they begin to set up an idol to Dagon or Baal, it was God's people's duty to eradicate that from their midst. So God's word presupposes that his people are actually obeying his law. And if they are obeying the law, you're not supposed to tolerate any that would bring into your midst a lifestyle or a teaching that is contrary to what he had given them commands to do. Now again, let's be specific. He's talking to Israel, but if you're going to quote a passage from Leviticus to me about how we are supposed to deal with immigration, illegal immigration, we need to understand the full context. When somebody did pass through their land, you had to live as the Jew lived in obedience to the word of the Lord. And he's going to make this even more clear in chapter 24. I don't have enough slide to put it all over one, so this one you'll have to look at in your own Bibles or on your phones or on your iPads or whatever it is you're using. Leviticus chapter 24, and some of you, when I start talking it, you're going to say, oh yeah, I was just reading that. I understand. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16, and we're going to read down through verse 22, and he that blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, shall he be put to death. And he that kills any man shall surely be put to death. And he that kills a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that kills a beast, he shall restore it. And he that kills a man, he shall be put to death. You shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for the one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. You see my point? There are not multiple laws depending on where you come from. You come into Israel's land, you're going to live by God's law. It doesn't matter if it's acceptable where you came from. And by the way, you think I'm making hay out of nothing? In England right now, there are foreigners justifying the rape of young girls and young women because back in my country, it was acceptable to sleep with a 12-year-old. That's their defense. And if you're living in England, guess what? It's accepted. And if our nation doesn't turn around, give yourself a couple years, guess what? If it's not already being practiced in certain cities in our country, it will become acceptable. But according to God's word now, this is we're correcting. How many laws are given to God's people? Okay. I'm going to have you all stand up and reach way up and breathe and put your hands down and breathe. And I'm going to say, how many is this? And you're all going to answer. And I'm going to... How many fingers you see? Four and a thumb. But that's okay. It's just interpretation issues. I'm trying to engage you because I'm trying to equip you. When somebody throws out God's word and distorts it and twists it, that you don't sit back and sit idly by, that you speak up. That you say, that's not so. Now, maybe nobody else will listen to you, but there may be somebody else sitting nearby that says, wait a minute, you telling me they didn't tell me right? That's what we're trying to address. It also could be somebody's telling you a verse that somebody else told them, that somebody told them, that somebody told them, and they're not even aware there is a context. But at the very least, I'm going to warn you. A proof text without a context is a pretext. They're trying to sell you a bill of goods. And the bill of goods that's being foisted upon us is that the United States is not diversified enough. We've got to be more diversified. And the way we're going to diversify it is we're going to erase any distinction between male and female. In fact, we're going to do so well, we're going to give you 79 plus other options. There's only one law for Israel in God's land. Leviticus covers it. Had the person taken the time to read the entire book. But listen, they're not concerned. A false teacher is not concerned about what it actually says. They're just trying to take a snippet. We know that Satan did this with Jesus too, did he not? It's written that the angels shall watch over you. So therefore, Jesus, jump down off of this roof. They'll catch you. Well, guess what? That's actually what it says. But Jesus also reminds Satan in the bigger context, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus is going to live by the law because he did not come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it, which means he didn't come to use God for his own benefit. He came and obeyed the Father for our benefit. If I can say it this way, and I haven't, listen, my brain's going 100 miles an hour right now. I haven't chased this out theologically completely, but maybe we could say it this way. Jesus is the best example of a true public servant. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve. So if people are coming across our border, why are they coming? To serve or to be served? Well, let's be honest. There are some that are coming across because they want to serve. They like what we stand for. They like what you can... I mean, you mean I can travel around from state to state and not have to show papers? And we're all like, yeah, why is that a problem? Because it's not that way in Europe. It's not that way in foreign countries. But there are others who want to come in and they want you to work while they receive all the benefits. And God's word does not justify that by any stretch of the imagination. Even if it is legal in your nation for a grown man to sleep with a 12-year-old girl, it is not legal in our country. I'm going to warn you when you need to be aware, okay? Just go with me. That brings us to a word called assimilation. According to what we have read in Leviticus, and if we read in Deuteronomy as well, there's lots of verses that tell us this, they are required to assimilate. A stranger is required to adopt the lifestyle, the beliefs, and the behavior of the people of Israel. Not the other way around. Now, what do we all know how it eventually worked out? Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do. They ended up adopting the lifestyle of the people in the land. And for that reason, God says, why don't you go take a vacation into Babylon for a while? 70 years. But that's not how God's established in His Word that it is supposed to take place. Israel wasn't supposed to assimilate to Canaanites. Anybody that came into their land was supposed to assimilate, which means to adopt God's law and live as God's people. Which means you may be a foreigner, but you come in and murder somebody, you get put to death. Period. You rape a woman, you get put to death. Period. You steal from a man, you got to give it back. Well, sometimes you can't give it back because you took his cow and you ate his cow, and so we really don't want that cow back. You're going to give him back a real cow, though. Or you're going to work it off. Matters not where you came from. Does it matter the laws of where you came from? It doesn't even matter how you were raised. One law for God's people, one law for the alien, the stranger, the immigrant that decides to pitch a tent in the people's land. So now we might need to be a little more careful. Unfortunately, false teachers and even believers want to hear this. They decided that the church is not meant to come out of the world, but that the church is supposed to adopt the ways of the world in which it is planted. And that doesn't matter if it's how you live, what you sing. It doesn't matter if it's how you make your money. It doesn't matter if it's medicine. It matters not. Their concept is, let's look like them rather than look like Jesus. But they don't know the Jesus the Bible knows. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to do what? To fulfill it. When Jesus died on the cross, He had kept every law of God. He had not broken a single one. And by the way, since we're talking about Jesus, which you should happen in a biblical pulpit, Jesus was not a refugee nor an immigrant. May I remind the knuckleheads that believe this stuff that you need to restudy your history. When Jesus was a young man, Israel was called Israel, but it wasn't ruled by Israel. Israel was under the authority of Rome. Rome owned and ruled everything from Spain over in Iraq and Iran, which simply means all Jesus did when he was a baby boy, go with his mom and daddy down into Egypt. Still called Egypt, but who ruled it? Rome did. Jesus never left Rome. But again, if we twist these things around, we can win you over to open borders and anything goes when they come in. It's a disgrace that our country, that our government had to pass a Laken-Riley Act. It's a disgrace. Number one, that somebody wasn't vetting the border any better than what they were doing. But number two, that they didn't hold the guy to the same law that we would have to live by. Now, I'm a little bit more agitated than some because I think if a man rapes a woman, he forfeits his life, period. I got biblical foundation for saying that. The gospel does not overturn the penalty for sin. But we have to start carving out exceptions now. In our country, we're told now that a man cannot go into a woman's restroom. Why did that have to be said? It's because we had begun to adopt the mindset of outsiders, and rather them assimilate into what it means to be an American, they want us to assimilate what it means to be whatever they are. Whether it's communist, socialist, Marxist, whatever tag you want to throw on somebody and hope it sticks. No, what they are is evil sinners. And see, it doesn't matter what their main tag is. I can throw one over the top of that one all the way. If you're wanting to get a man into a woman's restroom, that's evil. Somebody asked me before, what would I do if I saw a guy go into the restroom when my wife was in there? I can't tell you anything. I might pull out my knife and cut his throat. I may stab him in the back a couple of hundred times. I may just pound him into the ground until whatever. But I don't know what's going to happen at that point. I'm going to jail. I promise you I'm going to jail. That's wrong. It doesn't matter if the law says it's legal. It's wrong. I have no idea what I'm going to do in that circumstance, but I promise you this, I am not going to be thinking like Jesus in the moment. Just, I heard this said the other day, my doors aren't locked. My doors are not locked for my safety. They're locked for your safety. And when you cross the safety zone, you've entered into my domain. Now listen, I'm leading this up to somewhere, and this is where we got to be careful. This is Christ's zone. This ain't my zone. This ain't your zone. This ain't our zone. This is the Lord's church house. And we have an obligation and responsibility to see that we abide by His law, not the world's ways. And this, by the way, presupposes that the church is walking in obedience. Thus, the burning of the American flag or trampling on the American flag while waving the flag of the country from which you immigrated is a grievous error. It warrants a rejection of your appeals to be an immigree, and it results in the shipping of you back where you came from. And there ain't nothing wrong with what I just said. Yeah, but we've got freedom of expression in this country. You're number one, not from our country. Number two, you're not living according to the laws of our country. And when you come waving your flag in my country, that means I'm being invaded. By the way, then, you walk into this church house with a different theology than what I preach. Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, coming back, the lone and only Son of God. Expect me to become cantankerous. But listen, I don't expect to be the only one. In order for somebody to walk in this church, they've got to pass pews, and there better be some cantankerous people already before then. You're not watering down our beliefs. It shouldn't fall or depend on me. We should be in agreement on much. Once you join America, you're no longer what you were or where you came from, and there is no hyphenation. In the church, and I'm talking about the capital C, the body of Christ, you're not hyphenated. You're not a white Christian, you're not a black Christian, you're not a Mexican Christian, you're not an American Christian. You're either a son of God or you ain't. That's your two options. I think there are more options than that. You can't show it to me biblically. According to Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that in Christ, any middle wall of partition was what? Broken down to make of the two, how many men? one body. And anybody that attempts to bring in something that isn't Christ approved wants to introduce us to sickness, to illness, and cancer. And it's never for good motive. There's always an evil motive behind every false teacher. It's not an accident. It's purposeful. You knock down my door, I'm not going to simply sit back and think, oh, that was an accident. You come into my house and sit on my couch and start eating my ice cream, that's not an accident. You come into this body of believers and try to foist false teaching, that's not an accident. That means you decided to take me on head on, and I'm up for it. But I'm also called to address when people try to use God's word to assume political positions to make sure you understand it correctly. What this means now, for me, from this point forward, every one of you now are prepared to look at such an individual and say, that's not exactly what God's word says. Person that comes across our border is supposed to do it legally. And when they come into our border, they're supposed to do what the rest of us are supposed to do. You want to eat, you're going to work. Now, I understand. You made it to your retirement age. You made it into your 70s, 80s. You paid into the system, you get it back. That's legitimate. You come into our system, you're going to sit at home and you're going to get a free hotel and you're going to get a free phone and you're going to get free food and you never put anything in, and besides that, you're not actually out there contributing back to society. That's not biblical. And what has happened is people have used God's word to try to justify a position, but if I were to flip a couple of pages anywhere in God's word and I begin to read any of these passages, I'm thinking California, because what the things I'm looking at here, let me try to find one a little more nicer than that. Let's see, because there's so many of them that they conveniently overlook. Here we go. This is a fun one. So you come from another land and you set up in Israel and you like your steak rare. The word of God says, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourns among you eat blood. Whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunts and catches any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. One law for the stranger as well as the people. Now, if we tried to blend that into our society today, can you imagine you go to the steakhouse? They no longer even ask you how you want your steak. Because if it's got blood in it, it's completely not an option. How many people in Southwest Louisiana would pitch a fit? Well, how is it that we conveniently pick from God's word what we're going to teach people and skip the rest? That's what false teachers do. What's required of you? I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You didn't hire me to do this for you. I will be happy to come alongside of you. I will be happy to help you in this in any way possible. But three simple things how you can address these issues, these false teachings. Number one, read your Bible. Can you imagine that that's even got to be said? Can you imagine having to try to convince a senator we're not a democracy? And I know that because I've read the Constitution. We are a constitutional republic. And those two things are not the same. They're just not. In this day and age, we get wishy-washy and flip-floppy with our word definitions, but democracy and constitutional republic, it's two square pegs and they don't mate. By the way, I found out this past weekend that Legos are racist. Well, they're not racist, they're misogynistic. Because it requires a male part and a female part and doesn't observe that there are 72 plus what other options. And is teaching kids that there's only two options. Now, I realize it sounds stupid. But it's not that stupid when you find out that schools were having drag shows. That they were having drag queens come to little kids' birthday parties. That they were having these little 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds take dollar bills and stuff them in the clothing of the dancing. And if you're not aware of any of this that I've told you, you either have no online footprint or you don't click on news articles. Because it's at your fingertips. In fact, there are schools right now still fighting. Listen, in Oregon, they don't want parents to find out their kids have a sex change at the age of 13. And so they're trying to pass a law right now. Parents are not required to be told. And the guy has no shame in promoting it. Read your Bibles. You don't have to have a seminary degree to read your Bible. In fact, I'm going to contend, if you've never read it through it, I'm going to agree with you. You read through some of it and you scratch your head and you think, that's kind of hard to understand. Amen, brother, sister. Teach it. I agree. Read it again. Read it again. And what you're going to find out is what I found out the more often you read it, all of a sudden things begin to actually make sense. It's kind of like reading how to put something together. Most of you, or some of you, have found out, never read the first step. Read step one. What are you grinning over there? Read one. Well, some people don't even use the instructions, but even if you do, don't read step one, don't read step two. Look at all the steps. Because there's a reason why these things are put in the order they're put in, and when you realize what's happening, you're going to be tempted to skip a step, but later on you're like, oh, that's why I can't skip a step. Because I know none of y'all have done what I've done. Put something together and get down. It's like, I've got this part left and I've got to take it all apart to go back and stick it back in. Had I simply followed the instructions. And if I had simply read. It's cliche. And since we're on the morning, it's topical sermon anyway. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Just read the basic instructions. Yeah, but Brother Luke, I can't understand Revelation. Did you even read Revelation chapter 1? If you read Revelation chapter 1, you're going to know this. God promises you a blessing if you read and keep the words. How many people in here this morning don't want a blessing? Raise your hand. Everybody wants a blessing. According to Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, before you even get past the first 10 verses, He's going to tell you, I will give you a blessing for reading and keeping these words. So read your Bible. And that's what Paul tells Timothy, a young student. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And right now we're focusing really on this last little section, rightly dividing the word of truth. Somebody taking a verse out of Leviticus trying to convince you that anybody can come over our borders, plant up in our country and live any way they want to live, doesn't know the whole truth. They didn't rightly divide it, and if they didn't rightly divide it, it's wrong. Study it. Number two, fact check those who quote Scripture. Fact check to me. I'm not fact check me. I'm not saying don't disbelieve everything that comes out of my mouth, but go see if, you know, he quoted this scripture just off the top of his head. I need to go back and look and see if that's what it says. That's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. People even did it to Paul. Can you imagine? The Bereans told Paul, we're going to go fact check you and come back tomorrow and see if what you told us was true. And Paul didn't take offense. I'm not offended. In fact, it's even more funny when somebody comes back. I went and looked that up. What you said was true. Here's where more of you probably reside. Not necessarily reading your Bible. It's not fact-checking those who quote. But if you don't know, you don't ask. If you don't know, ask me. Some of you in here, you send me questions. Very few of you do, but some of you do. Why not take advantage of what I know? Because I can promise you this, if you've got a skill of something I'm trying to do, I'm probably going to wear your phone out before I'm done. Because if I'm trying to do it myself, I want somebody who knows what they're doing, who's done it before, who can guide me through the process. Yeah, but if I ask him for help in this, he might think I don't know. That's the reason why we ask. I'm still even more confused over the fact that most of you aren't aware that if you go to your browser, your search bar on your computer, and you begin to type in a part of a verse that you think exists, typically, depending on which browser you use, but the main browsers, it's going to try to fill it in for you. And you don't have to wonder anymore. It helps out. But how many people don't know that? In the old days, we had Strong's Concordance. Anybody remember what those were? Books. It's about this tall, it's about this thick, and it got every word in the Bible. So all you had to know was one word. And you could sit there and take your time, look through it. And by the way, some of you only used it to look up words and you didn't realize those numbers on the side. If you go look those numbers up in the back of the book, it gives you definitions from the Greek. And that's why you can see whether love was a brotherly love or whether it was a godly, agape kind of love. All kinds of things happening in there. But instead of sitting in ignorance, ask. And I will say, ask me. I've got email. I've got texting. We've got a telephone if you choose to talk to me. Other people know. You can basically come up here most times. The door's open. You're welcome to come in. If my door's shut, please don't bang it down. But if my door's open, I welcome. And my door is probably open. For those of you who wander around here, how often is my door closed? Very rarely. Tuesday mornings right now from 9 to 10, it's closed. I can tell you that much, but it's very seldom shut. But an even bigger question then, why don't we have more interest to know whether these things be so? Why don't we have more of a desire to find out if these things be true or not? See, I cannot give you that desire. I can't. I can't be a substitute for that desire. I can't cover everything that goes wrong in the week. That would be impossible. But God's Word has something to say about everything that you encounter. So I want you to go back and think about this as we get ready to wind down. Because of illegal immigration, because of those who come in and abuse our glorious freedoms, let's get rid of all of them. Let's ship all of the immigrants back home. Just let me know when my boat ticket comes up because I got to go back too. In fact, most of us in here, if not all of us, we're here because somebody immigrated to our country. And this is what that passage is getting to that they're using twistedly. It does tell us this. When someone is a stranger in your country and they abide by your laws and they live according to your customs, you are not to distress them. You are not to oppress them. You are not to hate them. You are not to spite them. You are to love them as if they had been born here. And it's going to be just as hard for a person who has this idea politically, let's get rid of them all, to be accepting to people when they come to a church, join, or make a profession of faith. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. Because they've come from out there to be here. How else is this supposed to happen? And this is why, Brother John, I think you may have been the last one to join, but people say they want to join the church. I'm going to ask you to stand in front of the church. We're not going to vote on you because this ain't about politics. But I'm going to ask you this, in whom do you place your faith and trust? And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and I'm going to add coming back, you're already one of us. And you are to be accepted among us unless you decide you're going to reject Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected. You reject that, then we're going to have to deal with that rejection. But we get people from all different walks of life. And we're not all from the same walk of life. I am not saying that every church has got to look like a picture of modern diversity, whatever that means. But certainly anybody who comes to our church who is endeavoring to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, live out their faith among us in a way that honors Christ, we have an obligation and a duty to love them just as we love anybody else that's been here for 20 or 30 years. Yeah, but do you know where they come from? So? Doesn't matter if they're Chinese, Japanese, Mexican, or whatever. If they live among us and they contribute and live as Americans, they're acceptable in God's eyes. And if it's acceptable in God's eyes, it's supposed to be acceptable in ours. This is about more than politics. This is about people who have chosen to twist and misuse God's truth to try to influence the church and politics. Some of you are aware of the USAID incident that's, as more stuff gets revealed. And what you're going to find out is the SBC is implicated all the same. Seems like there are no actors that are untouched by this. And here's why. The almighty dollar is why people say what they say and do what they do. And they will twist scripture for the almighty dollar. People were making millions over the open border. The little pastrix, that tried to correct Trump on Inauguration Day about how we all live in lofty towers and we're supposed to be welcome to those that have nothing, we find out that millions have been funneled to her. And again, why do people twist the scriptures? There's always a bottom line. You are not to be so. You're to study to show yourself approved unto God. If I teach you error and think I'm going to stand before God and be approved, I'm either stupid or taking the biggest gamble there is in the world, because there are no appeals after you stand before the great judge, Jesus Christ. Study. Read your Bible. Fact check those who quote it. Don't stick your head in the sand. And by chance, if you say, Brother Luke, by the time I come home from work, I really don't want to do any heavy reading and trying to find out what they're doing, ask me. Ask me. It's not what I'm paid to do. I'm glad to do it. It's not what I was hired to do. I'm glad to do it. You know, I don't got my phone on me, but pick your phone up. Text me. I don't send back mean texts. I don't send back mean emails except to Peggy, and she deserves it. That's another story. If you don't know, ask me. How can I help you? And while I'm plugging that, if there's something going on in your life and you choose not to tell me, I don't have a bat phone to God. Now, sometimes, here's what typically happens. Somebody else comes up to me. I don't know if this is gospel or not, but do you know what's going on in the side? No, I actually do not know. I don't really know if that's gossip because you really are cared and concerned about them. But if they chose not to tell me, they've chosen not to invite me in. And so by you telling me, all you've done is put an extra burden weight upon me because now somebody's keeping something from me and now I'm wondering what's going on. Don't tell me. But if you're facing something, ask me. There's no hierarchy to get through. You can call me straight up. I'll do my best to give you an answer. I'll do my best to give you facts. There are even times where I give people facts that I disagree with, but I'm like, here's the big picture. Here's the whole story. But it still is not going to resolve you of your responsibility. You should be reading God's Word. You should be studying God's Word. You should be determining to know it as it is put before us in context. That's not just for me and Timothy. This is for all of us to learn His Word. What does this Word tell us about salvation? What we sang about earlier. That all who come to Christ Jesus, He will in no wise cast out. Somebody told me this the other day. I wish I'd been the one to think of this. You do realize that people that Paul had played a part in being persecuted and put to death and were in heaven before he was? When Paul come walking in, when he was put to death, they cheered for him. They cheered for him. Because anybody who enters the gates of heaven has come by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not your enemy. They're your friend. They're your brother. They're your sister in Christ. Christ will save even people who have persecuted, harmed other people. He'll save them, provided they come to Him, confess before Him with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in their heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And just a little quick side note, doesn't matter what sin you've committed, if you'll confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you read your Bible, you're going to know this, and I encourage you to memorize that. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, I